In 2016, the Detroit Police Department partnered with a handful of gas stations around the city. They installed surveillance cameras hooked up to police headquarters with a green light next to the camera. The gas stations paid for the installation and Wi-Fi connection to the police.
The city of Detroit hailed Project Greenlight as a one-of-a-kind, groundbreaking, crime-fighting partnership aimed at improving neighborhood safety. Today, there are over 700 cameras and green lights installed around the city, and not just at gas stations, but restaurants, churches, and apartment buildings.
To some people, the green lights make them feel safer in a city with, frankly, lots of crime and violence. But a 94-page report investigating the effectiveness of the project didn't find evidence to suggest that Project Greenlight definitively reduces crime overall. And though some Detroiters say Project Greenlight makes them feel safer, many feel the opposite.
They're concerned that we're spending millions of dollars on police surveillance as a city, and that police are using faulty facial recognition software to analyze greenlight footage. Software that, in the past, has led to wrongful arrests of Black men in particular.
Well, today on the show, we're talking about a world beyond green lights and surveillance. I'm Amanda Alexander, founding executive director of the Detroit Justice Center.
And I'm Casey Rostro, communications director at DJC. And this is Freedom Dreams,
the show that knows another world is possible because we're talking to the people who are building it.
On the far east side of Detroit, a few blocks north of a gas station lit with a green light, there is a farm.
There's sort of a pavilion area around us. The farm is across the street, and there's several benches. Some of them have tags that say seen, not watched, green chairs, not green lights.
It's called Feed 'em Freedom, and it was started by Baba Wayne Curtis and Mama Myrtle Thompson Curtis.
Yes.
Okay, hey, I'm Myrtle Thompson Curtis.
What do y'all do?
Oh, that kind of intro. All right. So I am director at Feed 'em Freedom Growers and co-founder. I'm a member of the James and Grace Lee Boggs Council and Board, neighborhood organizer, activist, grandmother, lifelong Detroiter. That's just some of the stuff that I do.
We're sitting on these green benches with Mama Myrtle and her child, Curtis Renee, who you might remember from last season of Freedom Dreams. Curtis is featured in the episode called How Do We Heal and Reimagine Safe Communities, which you should totally go back and listen to if you haven't already.
I am a co-director and co-founder of the Detroit Safety Team.
Myrtle and Curtis have a different vision for what safety looks like in Detroit. And it's not about surveillance and partnerships with the police. The vision is rooted in relationship building, in neighbors looking out for one another. 3 years ago, they were part of a group that conceived of green chairs, not green lights, a counter campaign to Project Greenlight that calls on us to return to our front porches and see each other.
The green chairs and benches popping up around the city are telling a different story than the hundreds of green lights and cameras.
For me, the benches remind me of the first time I heard Mama, like, talk about this campaign with a group of people, and she was saying how she remembered growing up and everyone was sitting on their porches, and, like, you would walk by and everybody would speak to each other on their way to, like, the store or as they were doing things on their lawn or whatever, but it was just a very normal thing for people to be sitting on their porches with one another and knowing each other's names and sharing with one another. And so for me, the benches are an invitation to be with one another. So when this bench is in your community, it's an invitation for us to sit with each other and maybe have a conversation, watch some kids as they're maybe playing in a yard, or an invitation to get to know someone on your block or in your community that you've never met before. An invitation to start something new and decide what our community, what we want it to look like and what we want it to feel like, instead of what a mayor wants it to or what police want it to look like. So that's what it means for me.
Whenever I drive past some business that has the green benches or the green chairs, to me it always just feels to me like that is a safe space.
those are people who are part of the conversation that we're having about what does it really mean to build community? How do we really keep each other safe? And I got to say, whenever I drive past a building that has a flashing green light, that to me feels like unsafety. Like those are businesses that have signed on to the police agenda that are about feeding footage back to the police headquarters, that if something goes down, you know, they're going to be thinking about a police response instead of an actual community safety response. And so to me, it feels like safety and solidarity to me whenever I see them.
Yeah, for me, I think about care. It's like there's somebody who's actually going to sit on this bench who cares about the people in the area to actually, like, be there. I think about what you were saying, like, when young people were talking about having elders actually sit on their porches. I feel like that a lot in my own neighborhood, where it's just, like, we sit out and, like, we just watch the kids play on the street. And, like, that, to me, feels like almost sort of communal activity that builds security, because you actually have some familiarity. And then when there's something that's off or something that's wrong, people know, like, okay, I can go talk to this person who I know, who I've seen out, or, you know what I mean? And build that connection that way.
We'll be back after a short break.
I'm Whitley Granberry, and I'm a staff attorney in the Detroit Justice Center's Economic Equity Practice. The concept of equity has become a bit of a buzzword that gets tossed around in conversations about diversity and inclusion, because people want to be seen as doing the work to address the historical and systemic oppression of marginalized groups. However, one of the surest ways to create true economic equity is to build it into the structure of an organization and make it intergenerational. That's what makes the work I do at DJC, like creating worker-owned cooperatives and community land trusts, meaningful. Knowing that we're giving people tools to sustain equity for future generations. If you want to support this work, feel free to donate at DetroitJustice.org/donate.
In the last episode from this season, we talked to Marlon Peterson, who has a freedom dream of hyper-local safe zones where guns aren't welcome. Zones where residents are outside on their porches and organizing with their neighbors.
You know, these are people who might be on a block all day just hanging out. People who see everything that's happening, they can communicate the needs of the community.
We were curious to know who these types of folks were in Myrtle's life growing up in Detroit.
My grandmother was that person. Miss Phillips across the street. Miss Ruby Nail right here, Miss Johnson right here, Miss Dolores right here, Miss Jones right there, Miss Anthony, Miss Owens, Miss Downs. I can see them sitting out there or coming and going, and, you know, yeah, they were all there. And we were out. And yeah, sometimes it was like, dang, I wish they would go in so we could do something mischievous. But we were cared for. Everybody kind of knew what was not. In opposite today, the fear that is stoked, it breaks my heart not to see the young people outside. When I go flyering for different events and programming, I gotta go looking for the people. I gotta knock and hope, where are the children? So yeah, I remember those people who were out for me. But I don't want it to ever turn into a vigilante type scenario, ever, because that's not what this is about. It's about being seen, not watched. It's about educating ourselves, equipping ourselves with pod maps, circles of support and safety. It's about understanding what safety is, what the hyper-surveillance is. It's about understanding what policing is.
It's one thing to have elders sitting on their porches watching over their neighborhood, but without the intergenerational piece, there's only so much that could be done. Early on, as Myrtle was envisioning green chairs, not green lights, someone asked her how she was going to get young people involved.
And so I was like, yeah, okay. I can take that criticism. I could take that and work on it. So
And so she and her community partners began hosting workshops.
So bringing young people in to be visible so that they are looking with critical eyes in their communities, understanding the cameras, understanding something like ShotSpotter, understanding apps properly or with more consciousness. So it's the education that goes with wanting to be safe. And if you talk to young people, they get it. They understand the police don't make us safe. The cameras don't make us safe. We make us safe.
I love how intergenerational this work is and always has been from the beginning. I think you're really also, you know, just pointing out that this line that, you know, often the mayor or the city has of like, well, you know, it's all the elders who really, you know, they want the police in their neighborhoods. And it's like, okay, that might be a subset, but it's not everybody, you know? So I love that you are really intentionally making these connections, you know, between elders have a role and as do young people. Could you say more about the bike ride?
Yeah. So we threw the idea out to the young people. How, you know, would you guys like to have a safety bike ride? Yes!
There was interest from a bunch of young people, but at least 20 of them didn't have bikes. So this bike shop in Detroit called The Hub donated bikes for the cause, and the ride took place last fall.
And we looked for places that didn't have green lights as our starting points, and we did our rally chant, be seen, not watched. Be seen, not watch. Be seen, not watch. Community safety. And so we ended up here in this spot. And so we have images of the young people engaged in conversation about community safety and what that looks like. They look forward to doing it again, but those community relationships that were built along the way and the young people doing something fun, something physical, and they were being seen. And folks would ask them about their t-shirts, like, what does that mean? Are you're against the cameras? And they were like, yeah, we don't want, you know, yeah, we're anti-surveillance, anti-hyper-surveillance, to be specific.
So this type of work around green chairs, not green lights, is so important because the fight against police surveillance continues in Detroit. Last year, the Detroit Justice Center was part of a coalition to beat back ShotSpotter surveillance technology. And we were successful in freeing up $7 million in ARPA funding that the Detroit Police Department wanted to spend on expanding ShotSpotter and instead freeing it up to be used for the benefit of Detroiters.
The ShotSpotter is like these souped up microphones in community spaces to allegedly hear gunshots, although it's a lot of research that has shown that in just like active use in other cities that it just doesn't hear anything properly. And so police are sent out into neighborhoods like super ready to harass people, and then there are actually no shots fired, and so they just end up just harassing everyone for no reason.
That fight around ShotSpotter continues in the city, and we're also gearing up for a fight around the police department's intended use of license plate reader technology. So because the police department is doubling down on surveillance, it makes community-led efforts like this all the more important. It proves that we can keep each other safe, and we don't require expensive, faulty surveillance technology to do it.
So the last question that we asked of all our guests, and we've asked you this before, Curtis, but is what are your freedom dreams for your work? So when you think like 50, 100 years from now, what is the legacy that you hope you're leaving?
Oh, wow. I'm a seed planter, so I hope this tree is very fruitful and continues to root out and branch out. And just it continues. Oh, my goodness. I just feel like I'm part of a foundation, and it's just got to be built. I mean, I'm just one brick. So, but there's a legacy.
We all want no more police. No more police, no more prisons. we've been able to figure out, like, how do we address, like, sexual violence? How do we address violence in our communities? How do we navigate harm and conflict? But not only that, but, like, our communities are thriving and they're beautiful and we're connected and there's joy. So, yeah, that's my dream.
Freedom Dreams is a production of the Detroit Justice Center. Special thanks to our team. Zach Rosen is our producer.
Our Freedom Dreams theme song is by Asante. Artwork is by Gunnar and Hobbs. If you want to learn more about today's episode, head to freedomdreamspodcast.com. You can email us a voice memo of your freedom dream at freedomdreams@detroitjustice.org.
You can also write to us on social media. We're Freedom Dreams Pod on Instagram and Freedom Dream Pod on Twitter.
If you feel compelled to donate to the work that we do, you can find us at detroitjustice.org/donate.
And lastly, if you love the show and want us to find a wider audience, please leave us a rating or review at Apple Podcasts or Spotify.